Hi guys, welcome back to Let's Get After It. I'm your host, Elise Khalifa, and for today's episode, we have co-host Teddy Wilson, LaunchNet's resident graphic designer.
Hi.
Hi Teddy. How
Hi,
are
team.
You?
I'm doing just fine. I'm doing just fine this fine morning, afternoon.
Beautiful. Would you like to tell us a little bit about what you do at LaunchNet?
Well, yes, actually I would.
Please.
So as a resident graphic designer here at LaunchNet, I designed some of our wonderful merchandise, and I do some of our hot cards, our promotional stuff. I've even done like the podcast cover and like some of the little animations that go into that. So,
very cool. Thank you. And today we are joined by our guest Riley Smith, the founder of Component Stage.
Well, co-founder with Teddy. Teddy's also one of our founding members.
Beautiful. How are you, Riley?
Doing all right today.
Good. To kick things off, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, for sure. So, hi, my name is Riley. I'm really, I kind of do a little bit of everything, and that's part of what we're trying to build this business around. So I'm currently studying psychology here. We're working on that, moving that more in a business sort of direction. I'm a person passionate about telling stories and helping people. And helping people tell stories. So,
awesome.
Sorry, there's a bug.
You're good. Did you want to lead it with the next question?
Okay, this is a good one. So, how did the Component Stage get started? Because I know that this was like, as before we were like business partners, this is like a venture that you.
Sorry.
This is. I'm gonna lean back and like over here. So this is.
It's okay, I'm
sorry,
never knew
team.
To podcasting. It's
I'm sorry,
okay.
team. I know this is something that you brought to, like, our conversations. So it's just, like, I kind of wonder what that started out, like, out as, like, when you were kind of, like, at the helm by yourself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, before we started working on it, it was really just an idea in my head, which is where most things start, but... Really, I was thinking about how people produce media, how people tell stories, how a lot of that process is really hidden and locked behind industry secrets and behind closed doors, and about how really there's a lot of hierarchy in storytelling that can, I think, would benefit from being broken down. And so... when we started having conversations about as friends helping each other develop our craft and we went from, okay, let's just give each other fun exercises to do to, hey, we could actually like, we could write a really good story and tell a really good story with this. Then it was, hey, I've had all of these ideas for a network of creatives and a production studio for a while. What if we tried and actually did the thing? What if we built it, jumped in head first? So that's really how it started, was an idea in my head, watching other companies' successes, watching other companies' failures, and sort of just absorbing information until we both decided, let's try something.
Yeah, that's very beautiful.
That's interesting. So... did you talk about this idea with anyone else, or was it just kind of Teddy that you were bouncing this off?
No, it was really just in my head, and then when Teddy and I sat down, we started talking about it. I mean, I talked about it some with my partner, but
yeah,
like it was primarily just me thinking about things.
Yeah, so I know like with businesses that you start, those are very like close personal things to a founder. So what made you decide to make that jump and be like, okay, I want Teddy on here as a co-founder of the business?
Well, Teddy's a very talented person, and has a lot of experience in a lot of different media forms, which I feel is very important, especially when you're starting a company like this. Mm-hmm. And then also Teddy is a learner, and I'm also a learner, and that a core part of this business is the idea that we don't have to be a bunch of departments of specialists, but we can be pods of generalists all taking on different hats and learning to do different parts of a pipeline, different parts of a production process as we go. And finding someone to partner with who is also as interested as I am in knowing and learning as much as we can about the process was really important to me. And I just got lucky. I got someone so good.
Awesome. It always comes back to the pod.
It also, you know, it
always comes back to the pod.
We
like dolphins,
like orcas.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, like, before this podcast episode, we had rehearsed so she would know what to say all these nice things about me.
Oh, correct. Yes. Oh, we had a briefing session.
That's what the meeting was.
Right. That was,
got it.
The rehearsal.
We said it was branding, but it was really, really personality.
Let's hype up Teddy. Okay.
So make sure you, like, say all these nice, kind things and that I'm a learner and that, like, going in on this with me was, like, always the plan.
Yeah. But seriously, though, it's 100% true. Don't let Teddy's negative self-talk take root.
Okay. This is actually an intervention for
this
Teddy.
This is actually an intervention. Right. A Teddervention.
That's good. We're going to have to coin that, too.
Oh, absolutely.
It's going to have to be something.
Let's get the patent machine rolling.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So how do you guys divvy up responsibilities within the business? I know you mentioned you don't have to be, like, specialists in one specific area. You guys are learners. You're kind of just working on it all together. But do you divide and conquer things, or I guess, like, how does that partnership work?
I actually, before you say anything, before we, like, as we were getting into this and we were like, yeah, like, we're co-founders, I was like, hey, I, like, don't have, like, a business, like, mindset, really. And so you're,
yeah,
like,
I think we had the conversation where we sat down and
that was
almost
stellar.
We sat down and I remember you saying, like, I was trying to say, no, I want to do things 50-50. We're partners in this. We want to develop this. And you're like, you know, can I actually take, like, 25%? Can I take, like, 20%? Can I, like, can I? And I was like, I mean, sure. But we really, it's a lot of communication, conversation together.
It's, I think what is, like, communication and, like, also recognizing that we're two humans right now, like, as full-time students and, like, trying to, like, I also brought Starbear into this. Like, we're kind of, like, merging these ideas and kind of, like, making something out of all of these things and, you know, but being human and maintaining that, like being, being compassionate, I guess, and, like, you know, throughout the process, which is super, super important and has gotten us to this point that we are now where, you know, we're taking more serious steps into jumping into the deep end, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of talk about crunch in animation, and we were already rolling with 3 or 4 projects that we're hoping to get off the ground. Right. Some of them might take longer than others, but we when sort of stepping into this and actually starting to put wheels on the ground, if we may. We wanted to be sure that communication and collaboration was at the center of things, right? So we use Discord, and communication is the default, but asynchronous communication is core to what we're doing. We're both very busy people. We're both students. We both have jobs outside of this business we're trying to grow. We both have bills to pay, right? And as a part of that, we need to have space for each other to step back and say, hey, we're not trying to always be on. We're not trying to crunch to get this built. We are going to build this slow so that we can build it right. So that when the time comes to launch things, when the time comes to push, we have the energy for it. And we don't want to burn ourselves out too early. So communication and empathy for each other in that is really core to how we determine who does what.
Yeah, yeah. I love the things you guys are prioritizing, like not being in crunch mode, like grinding all the time, and then the compassion. Because I feel like specifically the compassion, you don't hear that very often when people are, like, talking about their teamwork. It's, like, communication. But you're right, there's that, like, emotional side of it as well that you need to be considerate of.
Yeah, because not to cut you off, but I think, like, with animation projects or even filmmaking in general, like, there is a lot that goes into it. Like, you know, there's, like, all this pre-production and, like, we are a two-person company right now. So it's, like, we've got, like, Riley's doing a lot of, like, the, like, actual, like, business infrastructure and then also taking on, like, okay, like project management. Like, how does this, like, roll out? Like, what does this look like? You know, like, how does the steps go? And then, like, also, like, on my side, trying to, like, think of, like, heading up the story and like what, you know, getting, it just, it's a lot. It's just a lot going into it. So it's like maintaining that like human like texture to this whole process because it's long, it's tedious, it's hard work. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like, you know, considering all that, you know, and
Well, and I think what we're finding is approaching it from this much more human angle, right? I mean, we're two college kids trying to start a production studio. Yeah. So I'm not anticipating we walk up to like MAPPA Studios door and go, "Hey, actually, we have insights." No. But at least for the two of us and for our company, approaching things from this more human, more empathetic way brings us the joy that cuts through burnout, right? It helps us to feel seen and feel valued as a part of this team that allows us to focus on the work and actually work better, work more efficiently, work harder, work more effectively as a whole, because we're powered not by deadlines and crunch, but by, hey, I'm a member of this team. I want the team to succeed. We can push forward for that.
Yeah.
Right? It's leadership through belonging instead of deadlines.
That's such a good, like, such a good way to put it, like the phrasing, the way you worded it.
I've been thinking about it for a long time.
But like, that's also such a good value prop, like as you guys grow, for people who want to be part of the company, or like even investors, people who want to support the company and like watch your animation, share your animation. So I think it's a really cool core mission that you have here.
Yeah, we're committed to stories that feel human.
Yeah.
Right? Ethical storytelling.
Yes.
Where we take care of every part of the process and put it on display.
Yeah, that's really cool. I feel like I haven't like really seen an idea like this come through here yet.
We're hoping it gets big.
Yeah.
Okay.
My secret agent.
How do your studies play into the business? Because I know that like when we talked, it was like psychology and like computer science, and like you do have like a very large repertoire of different skills. So I'm very curious how that came in to play here.
Well, part of that was developing that sort of idea of focusing on empowering generalists, right? Mm-hmm. People who can step into any role. So I didn't start out as a psych major. I started out I was going to school in partnership with MIT to be an engineer for biomechanical engineering, right?
God, you're smart.
And then, well, hey, well, yeah. Saying I started a program doesn't mean anything. But I arrived at school. It wasn't the right fit, and they were closing the program. It was a smaller school. And so I decided, well, okay, my love of engineering was powered by a love of solving problems and helping people. And how can I help people better than helping them understand themselves? So I went into psychology. And how can I help people understand themselves but through information, right? So I added a data science and philosophy minors onto that. And then transferring to Kent, it's a long period of growth that has ended up in, okay, what is the thing that pulls together helping people understand themselves, helping people understand each other, and using information to do that? And that's storytelling, really finding story as the core of all of these aspects of really helping people help people to help people, is what's driving me. So I'm actually in the process of changing my major at the moment, and I'm still figuring out what that looks like, whether that's a Bachelor of Integrated Studies using a psychology minor along with business accounting or data science, applied data and information, I think is what it is at Kent, or a business management degree. Really, all of the information I've gained along the way is going to stay core. Mm-hmm. And I believe that all studies should be interdisciplinary. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So my many, many studies across many, many different areas, I think every single one of them comes to bear. I do play cello as a hobby. I've played cello for forever. And we were just having a meeting to talk about the symphony of stories. And you can pull information from anywhere, and pulling information from anywhere allows your stories to reach everywhere.
I love how you phrase things.
That's what I'm saying. You hear what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's mesmerizing, really. It's hypnotic.
It's like poetic, you know?
It is. Yeah. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
When you spend years thinking about something, you can edit and edit and edit. I'm going to run out of content real quick.
What project are you guys currently working on? I know you've mentioned you have some longer term, some shorter term, but...
Yeah, do you want to jump on this one?
I can. So originally when we first came to the table with like, okay, like let's start this network, like let's start telling stories, I brought up, I use the like Dan Harmon story circle. So, and I like to do like thematic like storytelling. It's kind of like the foundation of like the story I want to tell. So like the first production, like this project we're currently in development with right now is trust. So it's a story around trust and kind of the vulnerabilities that I think come with that. So it's about a young, naive princess that is taking over for her, you know, corrupt father running, you know, a very corrupt system based on like suffering and, you know, like a very classist kind of system. So and then, you know, I love character design. So like, you know, making these like characters fun and colorful and emotive is kind of like what I was bringing to the table originally. So, yeah, I don't know. It's really fun. And then right now I think we've done a little storyboard. I've done a lot of the, character design, some prop design and things like that. And now we're kind of in that scripting stage. So, okay. Yeah, lots. I don't know. I feel like that answered the question. I feel like I'm pretty confident in that.
Yeah. So, these stories really arose from, I mentioned we started with some sort of animation exercises that we were passing back and forth to try and hone our skills and develop our craft. And as we worked through them, I think we've both been working through this process of, okay, where does story come from? What is the foundation that story is sort of rooted in? And it can be rooted in character, it can be rooted in a really well-developed world and in strong themes. And I think good stories incorporate all of those, right? So we've got a couple projects on the board right now. Trust is the big one that we're in script writing for, right? Yeah. We're working on some more of the world development because we're hoping to place a couple projects in this sort of single universe. We're also working on Starbear and Friends, which is hopefully going to take a character that Teddy has lovingly crafted for many years and bring it to the stage. So Trust is the first project in this sort of world we're developing. The next one is going to be Revenge, which is going to be interesting. Ooh. We're not going to say too much about that yet.
Very interesting. Very fun.
The sort of the setting the story takes place in is more of a higher fantasy setting. There are monsters. There is magic. For Trust. This whole Trust is the first in sort of a three-part mini-series that we're going to try to make as sort of our pilot product.
Okay, cool.
To get our name out there and make some stuff.
I've seen some of the character designs for Trust, and I am so excited. I'm obsessed with, like, a specific emotion that you give the princess.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
But just, like, seeing that little drawing, I'm like, I need this as a sticker. I need to put this everywhere.
I think I talked about being driven by joy, right?
Yeah.
Seeing the character sheets that Teddy developed, it brought me almost to tears. They are so emotive. And,
they are,
and
yeah.
Deeply characterized, right? Which is what you want in a character sheet.
Absolutely.
You want characterization. That's the point of the character sheet for the characters that are being characterized. I look into the camera like Jim on The Office. But it seriously brought that joy of like, oh, we're actually doing this. We're going to make something that people can resonate with.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
I'm still riding the high of seeing Kibu Driver with his little magical axe.
I don't know. I think my comment on that is like that's that like reaction that I love, is being able to deliver something like something that I've like crafted and like honed into this little something, and then kind of like being like, yeah, this is kind of what I've been doing, and then someone be like, feelings alert. You know, so I think that's what's really fun for me. So the idea of like being able to like push these stories and really be able to like translate that through these characters and through the lighting and through the composition of like these productions that we're working on is kind of where is like what tickles me throughout this.
It was that moment of us sitting down in the coffee shop and I had asked you to like, hey, maybe get some character ideas down, and you pull out these two full reference sheets and I'm like, it's so beautiful.
Well, I wish you could have heard that.
I picked it up from here. I got like, it from here.
Yeah,
it
just
was the reverb on that.
It was awe inspiring, right?
Aww.
Thank you.
I love how you guys like build each other up. Like you can see it in this like conversation that we're having here.
We're here to build. That's yeah. We were just talking about that. Like, hey, we are privileged that we have developed our skills and had the time to do so.
Mm-hmm.
That we have this LaunchNet to help us get off the ground, that we have pitch competitions we can engage in and try and secure some funding without having to just put our noses to the grindstone for the whole duration, right?
Yeah.
We're very privileged to be looking at a pile of mud and straw and clay, and we can start making bricks, and we are here to build.
Yeah.
We're ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Riley, are you planning on voicing any of the characters in Trust?
So we're definitely planning on voicing the animatics.
Okay.
When we do sort of roughing passes as we're refining the script, right? We often talk in business about a minimum viable product.
Mm-hmm.
And that is excellent. Doesn't work as well for animation. Mm-hmm. When you're working in animation, right, you want to think really slow so that you can move fast when animation time comes. That's a great way to sort of combat big problems that can jump out of nowhere that could cause you to have to redraw a ton of work. So while we want a minimum viable product, which is what we're hoping this sort of three-part series can be,
mm-hmm.
we're also looking through this development process to build a maximum virtual product, where we are building the biggest version, the most complete version we can, without having to commit the full resources of animation. Because that allows us to refine and edit and really ensure that we've talked about resonance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ensure that that tuning fork is on the right frequency before we go for it. So we will both definitely be doing some of the voicing for those animatics, which is where you take a full script, record the whole thing, and then edit it like eight times.
Okay.
Maximum virtual product. I don't know if we're gonna do voicing for the final.
I think we
final
have
draft.
To. I think we absolutely must.
I think it depends on what characters pop out.
Yeah.
Right? It may not be a character in Trust. It may be a character in a further project.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get that fly. but I definitely would like to. Yes.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. I mean, just a little sidebar on voice acting. I think it is such like it kind of helps you like get closer to the character. I think at some point I never thought I'd be voicing like Strawberry and Friends, for example. Like while I think like he's a very good representation of like who I am, I never really necessarily thought about like voicing him. Mm-hmm. But like for like some of our characters on Trust, like I would be absolutely positively tickled to take a stab at that, just because it's like the characters are so fun. This was something that this was like an intro project, something to get us off the ground. It puts a lot of like us into it, which I think is a very beautiful thing.
Oh, I'm definitely auditioning. I'm just not confident enough in my voice, shall we say, that I'm gonna get the role.
I heard some of your voice acting earlier. I think you could get it.
Well, I appreciate it.
And you might have an in with the founder. You
know? I might just.
Yes, you might.
Hey,
just.
I know where she sleeps.
I-93.
No.
What's been your favorite part of that creation process so far?
What's been your favorite part?
What's been my favorite part?
Yeah.
I think I talk about like my role and what I want to do within our company a lot, because I was like, oh yeah, I only want 35% of the responsibility. but mostly because like you talked about us being like generalists, and it's just because like I think deep in my heart of hearts, it's like I think like head of story like has always called to me. It's called for a long time to like actually like craft stories and then be able to kind of like head those projects. So it's like right now, like my favorite part of this is like, you know, mapping out that story and like how these characters grow, how they change, what like from the time the story starts to the time it ends, what kind of transformation they'll be having and what I can imbue into those scenes and into those moments, especially because it's like when we talk about being human and like imbuing these stories with that, like I think we've both been coming into a time of change and evolution, and it's like I think kind of seeing that through the story too is going to be a very beautiful thing. So it's like I anticipate that, and then also working with these characters. So
yeah. And I mean, the process is something that's very important to us. I don't think we've talked about this much yet, but we're pulling from actually computer code development, right, software development, to sort of use some of the agile frameworks for project management and more of that language to see if we can apply that to story, right? And as part of that, we're trying to document the process as we go, as a value that we can provide to our subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't nailed down the pricing yet, but at a certain subscription level, you'll be able to see development on these stories happen live, like as it's going. If we're up at 1 a.m. drawing character sheets, you'll be able to see the minute they hit the repository that we're working with. And I think that that has brought a lot of, it's done a lot to offset that crunch, because the joy of documenting the process, right? A lot of companies talk about learning out loud,
mm-hmm.
As a way of like, hey, we're trying to learn out loud and show what we learned to the rest of the company. Well, we want to be able to take on any hat, right? I can wear the project management hat one day and the animator hat the other day. I don't have any experience animating, but I'm learning that through this project.
Yeah.
So that we can document A, for our other employees, hey, this is how we learned how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can use, essentially joining the network gives you access to hours of training courses that is just documentation of how we learned the first time,
mm-hmm.
and how each person has learned. And that sort of love of process. What was the question?
Your favorite part of it, I think.
I think you love all of it.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, story is not a finished product.
Yeah.
Story is the process. The process is the story. So it's sort of a very meta-aware and a very heady interpretation of, oh, we're a company that's telling stories about telling stories about telling stories.
Mm-hmm.
But at some level, what is the... That's two. I was going to say, what is the human experience? But I don't want... Oh, no. I'm going to be accused of poetry again. But
accused,
really...
It was a compliment.
Yeah. Oh. But really, what is the human experience,
mm-hmm.
but growth and learning and development over time?
Mm-hmm.
And that is story.
Yeah.
And so if we're in a company that's trying to produce stories, especially if we're focusing on stories that resonate with people, then documenting the process and presenting the process to put story on stage as itself, that's what we're trying to do.
Very cool.
You're hearing the marketing buzzwords we were just talking about and the little phrases I brought.
Yes. Very delicious, though. Quite.
Eat it up.
Yum, yum, yum. Yes. Oh, am I going? Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just am, like, super into it right now. What has been the most challenging part of the entrepreneurial journey so far?
Oh, bills. No, but seriously, if we lived in a world where, right, bills were taken care of,
mm-hmm.
and you could just develop your craft and then present things, that would make this so much easier.
Yeah.
But having to balance being a student, having a full-time job, being an entrepreneur,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be a rough road. But it's also kind of joyful that the hardest part is having to make time to do something you love. So I'm grateful for that difficulty.
Yeah.
Right? We don't learn without difficulty. So
for sure. What are your future goals for Component Stage?
We were just talking about this too. We had a big meeting like all morning. I want to aim high, right? Mm-hmm. Because what's that phrase? Shoot for the moon. At least if you miss, you'll land among the stars. Something yeah. like that. Mm-hmm. Well, and aiming high is motivating to me.
Yes.
Right. The bigger I set my goals, then oh no, failure means learning. That's not a bad thing. Success means doing something great. So there's no bad outcome mm-hmm. to trying for something big. Either you win or you learn, and I'd rather learn. So I don't want to say I want to be Netflix, but I'd love to build this company to be a large network of cooperative, collaborative storytellers.
Yeah.
Right? There are precedent for companies like that. The Maximum Fun Podcast Network. They focus on podcasts. They are run as a worker collective, cooperative, which is what we are aiming for. We're not big enough to put that into place yet, but we're aiming for something like that. Dropout Studios. They are not run that way, but they have built themselves from a team of 8 people mm-hmm. that came from BuzzFeed into something. They're making a lot of money and having a lot of impact with the improv comedy that they bring yeah. to the table. So there's precedent for small groups to really disrupt and build into something really big in the sort of media environment.
Yeah.
And I think if anyone can do it, it's Teddy. And I just want to help. No, but seriously, I think the two of us can do it. And
I think so too.
I hope we can.
Yeah.
And because of that hope, and I'm not saying that because like I'm not saying I wish that we can. I hope we can. I have hope in the possibility of us accomplishing this.
Yeah.
And that means that we will do it.
Yes, you will.
Well said. Well said.
Poetic. Anything to add?
I think she says it best. I don't like. I feel like I say this all the time. I'm just like, I just want to like do like draw my little pictures and like give them to people that like would want to see them, and then hopefully like have that sort of impact and be able to inspire others, you know, to, you know, make also that sort of impact as well.
Yeah.
And you know, just to like impress upon like the human experience. Like I think, you know, this is like what we're doing. We want this to be a big thing. We want to be able to reach these people. You know, it's, we live in a very digital age where it's mm-hmm. like you have that kind of reach. So it's like to do it in a way that's like human and feels good and feels right, feels ethical to share that. I feel like is just, it's kind of, it would be illegal not to, I think. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about illegal not to, but no, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, let's make it illegal to not try.
Exactly. So it's like, yes. We don't want to do jail time or anything like that. Like I'm just not really built for that. So, yeah. Yeah.
No, yeah. I'm excited, and yeah, we're trying to you mentioned that sort of reach. We aren't on a ton of social media yet, but that is one of our next projects, is to sort of build that presence and to try to build a community around us of people who support our vision, because we're a very small company.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping that people will resonate with that idea of ethical storytelling
mm-hmm.
and a focus on doing things the right way.
Yeah.
Right? And not from a moralizing or grandstanding standpoint, but saying, hey, this feels right, doesn't harm anybody, and in fact helps communities. And I think there are people that will want to support that. And so we hope to build that community around us, and then use that to launch us even higher.
Yeah. Awesome. I look forward to the growth.
Yes. And it'll be coming.
Yeah.
It's coming.
It's already happening.
Yeah, yes. It is.
I mean, it is.
Yeah.
Teddy, would you like to ask the classic question
everyone? Oh, how would you describe an entrepreneur?
Problem solver.
Mm. Yes.
Agreed.
Someone who sees something missing and seeks to fill it, right?
Beautiful.
So.
Yes.
Beautiful sound.
Okay, so those are all the serious podcast questions.
Serious pod questions.
Yeah. Now we are on to the rapid fire section.
Oh, no.
Okay. Feel free to expand on any of these answers. Rapid is used very loosely.
Oh, okay. I was getting ready to sprint.
Oh, you can all do right. that, too. Whatever feels right.
This room is not big enough for that. I have the grace of an elephant.
Okay. Number one. Thoughts on Freud?
Oh, God. Stay in your coffin, boys. Freud had good ideas that contributed to the development of psychological thought. However, the belief that everything is sexually motivated as young children, not good.
That's going to be the clip for the promo.
Yeah. Riley, the prude. No. but no, I mean, growth is learning. Learning is growth. You have to fail in order to succeed. And the field of psychology has had its failures.
Mm, for sure.
I'm not saying Freud is one of them. I'm simply not saying it. That Freud is one of them. I'm not saying that. I'm not.
Not.
All right. Number two.
Favorite cartoon?
Favorite cartoon, Steven Universe. I love Steven
Wrong
Universe.
Wrong answer. The correct answer was ours.
Oh, shit. Am I allowed to swear on the podcast?
We'll bleep it.
Star Bear and Friends is a lovely cartoon that is fantastic. It's shaped my childhood, actually. I remember Saturday mornings growing up on the... Now, it doesn't exist yet. When it does, it'll be my favorite.
Yeah.
Steven Universe.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite Star Bear and Friends character so far?
I love Frobert. Frobert's very good.
He's a dear.
I saw a meme that reminded me of Frobert that I have to show you later.
Oh, I would love
Frobert,
that.
Frobert, best boy.
Yes.
Well, my personal is Doug. I'm a big Doug fan.
Doug is excellent.
Yeah.
A lot of Doug fans. A lot
I
of
mean,
Doug fans.
Have you seen him?
Yes. Have you, the creator, seen your creation?
Lately, I suppose so, yeah.
What is this? I've been watching The Office lately. I am aware of the effect I have on content creators. or consumers of media. That's Doug speaking. This didn't work as seamlessly as I was expecting.
You know, we can cut it. It's cool.
We're not going to, though.
We'll keep the last episode. Okay. Classical or operant conditioning?
Classical or operant conditioning? Dang. Y'all are going... You heard psychology and went for it.
Yeah,
okay.
We sure did.
Operant,
okay.
I'm going to say, because, I don't know, I like the word operant.
Sure.
Yes.
Why not?
Yes.
All right.
What's your favorite language to code in?
Oh, I like R, which is not
Point for
known.
Me, because I knew you were going to say that.
Yes,
so.
That is, you did know. R is not used very widely. It's used a lot more in sort of data science,
mm-hmm.
the whole tidyverse suite of products. But I like it because it's very readable, right?
Mm.
In sort of Python or JavaScript, it's built for the computer to read, but in R it's not object oriented. It's not an object oriented programming language. And it's not a fully functional programming language. Doesn't mean it's broken, just means it's not dependent on functions, right? It's a language that's more built on a thing called the pipe, which is where you take one operation, you take the result of one operation and pass it in as the first input to the next. So you can say, okay, I have a matrix of data, right? I want to add two, pipe. And that means the next thing in your sequence is going to take in that matrix plus two as its first condition, which allows you to really see the layout as you work through a series of transformations for data. So when you're working with large data sets, like one of my projects in my first class was to take, how many was it? I think it was 5.2 million tweets about the COVID-19 pandemic and analyze the sentiment in them, right? So perform a sentiment analysis, which means you take apart all the words and you determine whether this tweet was positive or negative about COVID-19. And being able to take that massive amount of data and pipe it through, okay, do this, and then do this, and then do this, and then do this, and then show me what happened, and then edit, do this, okay, what did we find, right? It makes it really easy to work with large data sets.
Wow. Yeah. Cool stuff.
I heard a million and I got really scared.
There are a lot of tweets out there. Or X's, I guess. Eggs? Is that?
Eggs.
It's the Elon Musk scrambled, platform.
Scrambled, fertilized.
They sure seem scrambled these days over there on the eggs platform.
They do. Final rapid fire. Drink of choice.
Drink of choice. Oh, it depends on what time of day it is.
Let's hear all of them.
I like a good, like, chai latte.
Iced or hot?
Big fan. Iced.
Yeah, necessary.
They're good hot. If you've had the, like, a chider, which is where it's
a chai. A chider?
Yeah, it's chai and apple cider.
I've never had chider.
Spiced chai and apple cider. That warm in the evening.
Oh my gosh.
When it's raining in the fall. Got it. Is amazing.
That sounds amazing.
It's beautiful.
Whoa.
But generally iced.
Okay.
Yeah. I like coffee. I like tea.
Like black coffee, like water. Flavor.
No. I have such a sweet tooth. I can't.
Same.
It's got to be like equal parts coffee and milk and sugar.
Okay.
It's at work. At work, we have one of those like Nespresso machines. And so I will take 2 packets of hot cocoa mix and a pot of the like coffee shop blend or whatever.
Yeah.
And make that. And then I add some cream to it.
Okay.
It's not healthy.
It's probably good though. Yeah.
Yeah. It gives me the sugar hit until the caffeine kicks in and I'm riding a forklift all day. So I gotta zip around.
So there's science behind this drink.
Sure.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Sure.
That's what I heard.
Hey, the difference between messing around and science, I think this is an Adam Savage quote, is writing it down. So it's recorded now. So I think that makes it science.
Yeah,
actually.
I think so.
Yeah. Undoubtedly.
None of this is original thought. I like having cameras to look at. It's fun.
Except for component stage.
Well, yeah. That's the synthesis. Thought. What? Nothing's original.
Whoa.
Nothing's original. All we have is our thoughts on other people's thoughts about other people's thoughts, right? Well, I just happened to have thoughts that people thought were good and decided to go into business with me on.
Don't you feel that that's like a little bit too much happening up here?
There's so much.
I feel that way on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah. Constantly.
Yeah.
But I'm tired. I need coffee.
And hot cocoa.
And hot cocoa.
Okay. Well, that is all of our questions. I know you said Component Stage doesn't have like social media out yet, but is there anything you want to shout out? Anywhere people should go to help support, get involved, connect with you perhaps?
So right now I would just support LaunchNet.
I mean,
the resources we have here are helping people like me, helping people like Teddy and I to build businesses and to take dreams and make them reality, right? Eventually we're going to be everywhere, hopefully. But for right now, yeah, I would just support LaunchNet. I'm sure I'll be back on the podcast before we are Netflix. So I'll shout that out later. For now, just support LaunchNet. LaunchNet's doing great work.
You guys heard her. Support LaunchNet.
That's very beautiful, actually.
That was so sweet.
Putting it forward. That.
It's that compassion, you know?
It's that compassion.
It's all about empathy. About empathy. So when do I get paid for the shadow?
Tomorrow?
Okay.
Yeah.
Checks in the mail, actually.
Checks in the mail. Good.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Riley, for being our guest for this episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It was amazing to learn more about you, like your background, how Component Stage came to be, and I'm very excited to see the future of it.
Yeah, we're excited too. I'm looking forward to showing up on the podcast next.
Yes, absolutely. Well, with that, let's get after it.